Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am Monique Guzman, your host as the Passion Instigator. And our topic today is the adulting struggles of the millennials and Gen Zs. And I am happy to introduce our leading lady, Angelique MacArthur, founder and CEO of The Adult Edit. Welcome, Angelique.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here, Monique.
Oh, I'm so happy, too. So tell us, The Adult Edit, what it, in layman's term, what it means, what it is, and why you're doing it.
Yeah, so the Adult Edit is it's all about helping millennial women and Gen Z women transition into adulthood, but I also serve Gen Z youth as well. And really what it's about is helping to fill the gaps that we're missing from school and the things that we didn't learn in school, certain life skills. It's really helping to fill in those gaps so that the people who are transitioning into adulthood can feel confident doing so, and that there's a bridge there for them to jump over that gap between, you know, being a young adult to being a full-fledged adult, I guess.
Right, right. Okay, so I'm going to backtrack here and give our audience a little bit of information for those that were struggling on what it means to be a Y and Z generation. And I'm going to go ahead and throw the X in there just for definition purposes so that if we
sure.
people don't know. So give us what age group is X, millennials are another word is Y, the Y generation, and then the Z generation. So we have the X, the Y, the Z. Tell us the what that encompasses and what ages, what years, so that we have an overview of what that means.
Yes, no problem. So the Gen X would be considered after the baby boomers. They'd probably be the kids of baby boomers directly, and they tend to be ranging from ages 41 to about 59. So there is a range there, and they tend to come with, or it's said that they come with, more ideas that are traditional in the sense of the way they were raised by baby boomers, but they also are open to new ideas and experiences. So they were kind of the first generation to kind of shift the perspective on basically what's important in life and the way that we do life, whether that's how we work, how we have families, and all of those important areas. Gen Y, also popularly known as millennials, that's my generation. And right now the age range is relatively around ages 25 to about 40. So again, this is kind of with a grain of salt, you know, because people will say different things for different age ranges. But my age group was kind of the first age group of the internet and the computers and technology. We grew up with that, started learning about that at a younger age, and that really shaped the way that we also grew up and started interacting, the kinds of ideas that we had in regards to work and family life in particular. And then you also have now the Gen Z. There is a generation after that, Gen Alpha.
Oh, my goodness.
So it kind of starts again. It starts again from A. But Gen Z is about 24 to, I believe, around age 9. And so
oh, wow.
That generation,
okay, that's Gen Z.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that generation is the youngest generation right now, I guess, for youth-wise. Otherwise, you're kind of looking at babies and toddlers. But for youth-wise, they're the youngest generation right now. And they are a generation that, again, they're very progressive. this is a generation that's really looking at how to make social changes on a larger scale, and they really have a different mentality, completely different, really, on fundamental areas of life as well. But they're definitely the generation that's known for being very progressive and hands-on.
Okay, that's the Gen Z. Okay, and then you just threw me a loop here. There's already another acronym or label for the generation after. What did you call it, Elsa?
Gen Alpha.
Oh, Alpha.
Yeah, okay. So it starts with the letter A again. So, you know, goes through the alphabet.
Okay. Okay, Gen Alpha. That just, okay. All right, so let's get down, and we're speaking specifically about millennials, which is the X generation and the Gen Zs, and that's where you work with the most. And I want you to tell me, what is the biggest struggles that they have, or do they share the same struggles, and which struggles, if they're different, what are their struggles for those two pockets of young adults and adults. I mean, you're 40 years old. You're an adult.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I think that you kind of hit the nail on the head there. Millennials are not, I feel like many of them are not viewed necessarily as adults. And many of them don't actually even like classify themselves in that way, in that traditional sense of adult. And the reason why this has kind of happened is because millennials were kind of a generation that was overall, and I'm not saying individually, just overall, it was more of a coddled generation. I think we were the first generation to really get, like, you know, participation badges for everything. You know, before it was like, if you didn't place, you didn't place, you know, but now it's like you get, everybody gets a ribbon for something. And it's that idea that you don't want anybody to feel bad, right? It's a lot of protecting and a lot of guiding that way, which kind of ends up, for our generation of as millennials, the premise now is that you have a lot of millennials who they either feel entitled. I think that's probably one of the worst labels that we've got, is that we're entitled. And I'll touch on that in a second. But the other idea is that we're kind of overgrown children. You have a lot of millennials who kind of are still living at home. You know, the idea is that they're not really necessarily taking on the role of being what would be considered an adult and maybe a baby boomer. You know, they're growing up later on in life. And so that's a really big stigma and, I guess, idea that has been placed on millennials, which I believe is unfairly placed in many ways. And then for Gen Z, the idea is the same thing in regards to helicoptering kind of around that generation. Again, over-coddling, wanting to make sure that they have everything, which is important, but also what I've been hearing a lot from people specifically who have kids, but also people who work with kids, are saying that they're finding there's a lot more learned, helpless Gen Zs, meaning that, again, they have people in their lives who are willing to kind of do everything for them, which takes away a lot of responsibility and ability for them to learn the skills that they need to survive on their own when they're not at home. So it's kind of this idea where the idea that the generations of Gen Z and millennials, that they kind of, you know, they needed a little bit more love and care, but it kind of got taken a little bit overboard. And then it shows up later on in life, in adulthood, in, unfortunately, negative ways.
Yeah. I'm sure that I want to talk about the entitlement in a second, but what I find is lack of, like, critical thinking, taking accountability for your actions and not getting a free pass, or you know, work ethic, or just professional kind of like teamwork or team player, or there's tons of things, but I think, and you can correct me, is that they're a product of their environment. And so how much of it is their fault? How much of it is society, technology's fault? I don't know. I'm would love to pick one of those things, I guess we can talk about. But what did you feel on any of those things?
Yeah, I totally agree with you on both sides. I will be honest, my baby boomer, so my mom had me later on in life, and so I grew up with, I think, the side of, you know, responsibility and a little bit more there. But I also grew up probably being more coddled than I would have been maybe if I was born, you know, before that. So I do find that I am a product of my generation just as much as I'm a product of my upbringing. And I do believe the culture of both of those do impact the kind of person that you do become and the kind of work ethic, like you said, even communication styles, all of that is impacted. However, I am a firm believer as well that millennials as well as Gen Zs get a bad rap unnecessarily, because a lot of times you'll see that what it feels like is that a lot of older generations who do point the finger in saying things like, oh, they're entitled and all of these kinds of things, they're not recognizing that that was also the way that they were raised. So it feels like there isn't a lot of responsibility being taken on that side of things by the very people that raised them. And I'm not saying this as like individually, I'm saying collectively, that there's a lot of finger pointing, but not a lot of, I take responsibility or I see where I could have played a part in that. And so I really don't feel like it's fair to say that millennials are entitled as an overall stigma of the generation. Of course, there are individuals who are, I'm not saying that's not the case, but as a whole, I felt like that's a really negative term to place on an entire generation of people. And unfortunately, that has been the collective idea, and that's led in different spaces for millennials wherever they kind of, you know, went. Gen Z is the same thing. The idea that these kids, they're always on their phone and, you know, like they're just connected to this technology and they don't know how to communicate. But again, if that technology was never controlled or they were never taught how to communicate better, the life skills that they needed, if they were not in place, then that has to be accounted for too. So I believe that youth, in particular, I get really annoyed by seeing, in particular, the school system place enough emphasis on the need for life skills beyond that.
Yep.
And I know what people are going to say. The first thing they're probably going to say is, school is for academics, okay? And I agree. So maybe the place is, it's not the place where you learn necessarily those particular life skills. And some schools do provide these types of life skills, you know, programs and courses. So I'm not saying every school, but in general, the public school system, they struggle to implement these things. There's a lot more being taken away in public school systems. You know, you're hearing things like music programs, the arts are being, you know, diminished.
Mm-hmm.
You have teachers who are trying to do and be all the things to like 30 kids, and the teachers are worn out too. So there's a lot of broken things in that school system. And I believe as well, the lack of life skills training is a really big downfall as well. You have these kids who go to school for, you know, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, like 40 hours is basically a job. And yet they're not coming away with skills to help them feel confident when they're not in the school setting, which I do agree that parents and guardians do have the responsibility to teach these things at home. But I also believe that if the school is where the kids are going to be for the majority of their time, that it should be a class that's mandatory, not elective. Because kids don't see the benefit of that at such a young age, right? So I believe it's up to adults who have been there and say, oh, yeah, I wish I knew about personal finance when I was, you know, your age. I wish I knew about how to take care of myself, like basic cooking or cleaning skills. I wish that I knew that. It's up to us as adults to say, hey, let's help that next generation do better because we know better. But that's not what's happening in a lot of the school systems, right? It's not that they're saying, oh, let me implement these kinds of things because it's so important. Like personal finance is a great example. It's something that everybody agrees you should probably learn about and at a younger age, but still you don't see that as a course in many schools, which makes no sense.
Right. I have actually five children, and three of them are in our X gen, two of them are Z gen. And, you know, I just helped one of them with applying for a loan for a car. And not only did they not know how to do it, they didn't know what questions to ask. They didn't know, you know, what the process was, what words to use. And they didn't know how to balance a checkbook. It's just like, I don't know, there's a lot of things, but I do want to take a quick break to recognize one of our sponsors and partners. So Women Lead Radio is brought to you today by Connected Women of Influence and our partner, Microsoft. Microsoft's mission is to empower every person and organization on the planet to achieve more. Microsoft believes technology is a powerful force for good and are working to foster a sustainable future where everyone has access to the benefits and opportunities created by technology. Microsoft believes technology can and should be a powerful force for good, and that meaningful innovation can and will contribute to a brighter world in big and small ways. Thank you for your support, Microsoft, and to all our sponsors and partners. And now we're back with Angelique MacArthur from the Adulthood Edit. And so let's talk about how do you, in Adulthood Edit, how do you reach out or help? In what capacity? Is it just content on social media? I'll explain how that works.
Absolutely. So I definitely have content online, and it's about creating value for people always. But I also offer workshops, and the workshops are tailored around life skills that I believe are lacking in for most millennials and Gen Zs. These are the kinds of things they're struggling with. So there's actually a lot of adulting classes now in universities and colleges across the United States, and that number is rising because they're finding that a lot of the students are struggling with life skills such as doing laundry, cooking for themselves, being able to take care of their finances, because these are things that they didn't learn when they were in high school, and now they're in a more, you know, intense setting in college and university, and they're struggling because they're like, oh, I don't have somebody to do that for me. You know, maybe at home somebody else took care of the laundry for them, but now they're having to take care of a lot of these things on their own. So these classes are actually on the rise in colleges and universities. And I always felt it really started from when I turned 30, you know, when you're in your 20s, I feel like everybody's like, you're young, have fun, have a good time. And then at least as a woman, when you turn 30, the questions of like, are you getting married? Are you having kids? Where are you going to live? What's your career? Like these come out and you're kind of taken aback and you're like, where did this come from? Yesterday you said I was, you know, young and carefree and it was all good. But there was no preparation to leading up to that jump from, you know, I'm in my 20s and, you know, carefree to, oh my gosh, like now I'm, you know, I'm thinking about these other matters in life more in depth. And I felt that it was really, I was like, you know, okay, I wrote a post on Facebook called 30 Things I Learned by the Age of 30. And I talked about this like jump and these sudden random questions. And I had a lot of women reach out to me in DM and say, I totally feel exactly what you're saying. And I'm anxious and nervous about turning 30 because I don't have my quote unquote life together. And I started looking for resources. I was like, okay, there's got to be websites and things that can support this. And the majority of the things I found were disheartening and just talking about how your 30s are downhill, good luck out there, you know, it's a battlefield. Yeah. And I was like, okay, that's wrong. I don't believe that. And I feel like that perpetuates the idea of, you know, women getting older and, you know, their life's over at a certain age. So I just said, I'm going to create that. I started out with doing workshops that were specifically around the key areas of your life. So like relationship, personal finance, health and wellness, and so forth. And I was geared towards helping women transitioning into their 30s in order to support that. But I started seeing that younger generations also struggling with this and feeling overwhelmed and guilty, and they felt embarrassed and ashamed by like, oh, I don't have my life together. You know, a lot of this in society is perpetuated by like, oh, you need to be, have everything together, you know, you at a certain age. And they were feeling overwhelmed and anxious. But then I was like, they're not prepared because adults did not prepare them. The same people who are saying they need to have it together were not offering those kinds of skills. So it's not fair to condemn them when they weren't prepared. And if you knew better as an adult, then you should have prepared them. So I took it upon myself to say, okay, I can extend these workshops to Gen Z. And the youth, I was like, again, if I knew this when I was in high school, I would have been better equipped. You know, it is on the individual to take what they learn and apply it. But if you're not even offering that for them to learn, then, you know, you can't really blame them. So the things I offer are workshops that are based on the key areas of your life. And my idea is that I like you to take the workshop that you feel will support you best. If you feel like you really need help with your health and wellness, then join that workshop, you know. But if you really feel like you need help with your finances, then join that workshop. And I'm not an expert in every area. My focus is on connection and communication. I believe those two skills are going to take you so far in life, and really they're at the root of everything. I believe that your life is one big thing, and I like to show people how their whole life connects. We talk a lot about life in compartments, like maybe your finances are doing really well, but the rest of your life isn't. And it's like, no, it all works together. So how can we look at them differently and see how the way we connect differently? I really enjoy learning about and talking about and serving people through relationships and the way they relate to their life. But if I'm not an expert, I bring in guest experts on those areas. So I'm not a finance expert by any means, but I bring in those people who are in order to support those who need that help. And then we look at it in a different way, in a very holistic way, like I said, looking at the way we connect to our finances, not just the numbers, but the way we feel about the numbers, the way that, you know, we see them. Do we see them as our friend? Do we see them as not? So that's where my portion comes in, because I really believe it's about reframing these things, especially for generations that our generations didn't grow up the same way that baby boomers or other generations did. Things have changed, and we need to support millennials, Gen Z, and even Gen Alpha coming up with what's going to support them for their generation. I believe there are timeless principles, and those are the things that I teach as well. But we also have to be able to change and adapt and support them with that.
Right. And in case listeners are listening and want to reach you after the show, how would you like them to contact you?
Yeah, the best way to reach me, you can reach me on Instagram at The Adulthood Edit. You can also email me at connect@theadulthoodedit.com. I'm open to just chatting. If you need help with things, I'd love to support you in any way I can. Those are the best ways to reach me currently.
Okay, wonderful. And I wanted to, all of it that you're saying is totally makes sense, that they were a product of what, of their making, of not their making, but others doing, implementing the rules and regulations, like the simple as everyone gets a trophy even if they don't win, which I'm not from that generation. I'm from the X generation where, you know, we lost a lot and we didn't get trophies, you know.
Right.
We had to struggle and get scratched and beat up, and it was part of the, you know, what we were told, you build character, right? But how now, I have been in circumstances where in networking events where there was a table of mixed generations, and there was a person who was, I'm going to put them in, they were X generation, and there was a younger woman. She was, it was X generation, and she was a Y generation. And the younger person was very passionate and was talking. It was a business setting, and she was talking about the different things she was doing. And I would call her entrepreneur. She had this going on and this going on, and very articulate. And the other woman who was older, an ex-gen, obviously, she was over 50, and she just right away cut her off, and as if it what she had to say was not important. And my biggest thing is that we have to learn from each other. That
absolutely
not one person or not one generation everyone has something they could add to the plate. And we should listen more to each other, not label and not just cut off. But at the same time, the older generations, there's wisdom and experience that we can share. It just has to be done in a way where we all of us respect each other. And but how can we better bridge the gap when, let's say, you have a 50-some-year-old who right away labels a 27-year-old or 30-year-old, and the 30-year-old is, you know, has a good work ethic, you know, still knows how to communicate, but there's lacks critical thinking or there's entitlement. How can we bridge the gap? Do you have any, like, tricks of the trade of something that seeds of wisdom that you can shed to our listeners?
Absolutely. I recently wrote an article about how younger generations and older generations can actually connect better. And I think this is a really great point. I don't believe that any particular, you know, as much as I'm an advocate for millennials and Gen Zs, I do believe that there is so much wisdom that can be had from older generations. The first thing I always say is recognize that that person is a human being. A lot of times we're looking at people based on our particular preconceived notions, what we hear in the media, you know, the same thing. Oh, millennials are entitled. That's not necessarily the case. That very person who's a millennial may not be an entitled person, but that's the stigma that you get. I think when we look at it and remind ourselves that every single person you're talking to is a human being, that you recognize that there's also that instant connection there. We're not perfect. Nobody is. And so we have to start by stripping back all of these preconceived notions and being honest with yourself about when you're making judgments or snap judgments about people. Because I think that when you are able to in the moment say, you know what, I'm prejudging, I'm being prejudiced right now against you, really, because I don't know what I've heard or maybe what I've seen before, but not looking at you as the individual, we have to start getting back to judging people not by what we think per se, but what we know. And there's a big difference. Right. And I think when you give yourself that space and ability to open up and be honest and say, okay, like, let me just take a step back, I want to just really listen to you, then we can learn that we can all learn from each other. Because the reality is, one thing I know is that a lot of people who are older are always asking younger people for advice, especially on things like technology.
Technology,
right?
Yep.
That's
yep.
Number one. The first thing they're going to ask you is, like, how do I even start this cell phone? And so for a younger person, that is just so commonplace. That's just something that you're like, oh, that's just, you're born, you come out of the womb with a cell phone. It's just like, this is just what I know. But when you're,
and
when you're younger, you look at older people and you think, like, you know, there's always these comments of, like, old people, like, oh, you're like, oh, World War One or World War Two, like, you know, these ridiculous comments, like, oh, dinosaurs and all these things. It's funny to an extent, but you're really diminishing a lot of the times really that connection you could have with that person by just saying, hey, you come from a different time and I would love to know what that was like. I think when you get the opportunity to just ask people about themselves, because everybody likes to talk about themselves. So opening up and just even finding common ground, talk about school, talk about your experiences growing up. Everybody has had that experience, right? Like, I went to school, or the majority of people have had that, or your working experience, your family life. Those are fundamental human things. Talk about those.
I love that human. I think, like, the takeaway for sure is that we're all human, and that if we remember that, that'll be a good stepping stone to be going into the future and start from there. Angelique, I wish I had more time. We could have talked about this so much more, but that is our show for today. I'd like to thank you, Angelique MacArthur, for being our leading lady. And a special thanks to all our listeners, both in the U.S. and international. And after our show today, you can listen to Women Lead Radio on all our subscription podcasts, specifically Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. We are expanding quickly to a daily radio show and podcast. So for now, we'll be back again for another live Women Lead Radio Show on Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific Time and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time. And it's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. Thank you for our listeners, and have a great weekend. And remember to live every day passionately, because life is too short and we're all human. Have a wonderful weekend.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.